And now, Radiolon presents a reading from Ministry, The Lost Gospels According to Al Jorgensen, from the Land of Rape and Honey chapter. It's funny, because the total supposed guitar rock hit, which I hate to this day, is Stigmata. And that song doesn't have any guitars on it. The guitars are all sampled. There's two chords in every riff, and the second one is bent with a pitch shifter. It's all electronic. And that was supposedly our first big metal moment. For years when we played that song, we do it with live guitars to make it heavier. That didn't stop me from hating it, though. Of course, the biggest song on the album is the one I can't stand, and suddenly I have to play it every night for years. Back asswards, right? The problem with Stigmata is it's too simplistic. It was a throwaway. I need another song for the album, so we bang that out in 5 minutes. But it don't go nowhere. I never thought it was going to be big or do anything. I thought the other songs had better potential for selling records. But I'm usually the last one to know what other people are going to like. And then some bum group from Cleveland recorded a demo of the song. So what the hell are we, Devo? With a doobie-doo wop? It's like from With Sympathy, that one is. Embellished, of course. Radiolon. It's weird, avant-garde, mainstream, noodlings.
The first step on the road to mental hygiene is admitting that you're sick.
Yes.
Radiolon. It's topical, humorous, opinionated, dumb stuff.
Shazam flip.
Gentlemen, this is completely unacceptable.
Radiolon. It's Gush Limbart, Carrie Alice Allen, Daniel Penistar, Toad Leaderpiece, and a cast of several.
Damn, that's good.
You're a very sick person.
And now, here's the host of the Radiolon program, Wince Edward Flatulence III.
Ah, yes, Uncle Al. I gotta love Uncle Al. Hello, I'm Wince Edward Flatulence III. And here's another segment of the Boomer and Ricochet New Year's holiday something or other, something, something, something. Happy Mom's Day! Because we're recording this on Mom's Day, 2015. For perspective, in 3 years when you hear this repeat. Enjoy!
Woo!
Sheepy got Maxell Rock 2.
Yes, the next record that I'm looking at is a sampler, Maxell Rock 2. From RCA Special Products. Yay.
Yeah. Well, that's, and those people, aren't they the guys that like put tapes in cars that you would demo a car, you know, test drive and stuff? And they always had their cassettes in there?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the kind of thing they were used? Or record testing. Like, why did they put that record out? Was that to test high fidelity, like sound systems at stores, maybe?
Yeah.
Because it's Maxell products. Like, why are they, why do they do it?
I don't know.
Oh, what did you see?
Okay, so this album has a couple of names on it. Probably the most popular, the most famous name on here. Well, there's two. There's Daryl Hall and John Oates, Bebop Drop. is the name of the song.
Oh, yes, I know that tune.
You never heard of it?
I have.
You have?
I have, just because I have that record.
And Styx with You Need Love. Those are two,
bebop,
two of the probably
bebop.
Those. Then they have Poco, which
all
is
right.
Kind of, you know, it's a little bit. And they also have Triumph, which had a bit of popularity.
Yeah.
And then they had the Outlaws on here. And the Outlaws had a minor popularity, I guess.
Yeah, they sure did.
And the song I was going to play was Michael Stanley Band, which we might just play anyway. We just take a break, play a little promo there, and I'll just advance it. But I've decided to change up and not play Only a Dreamer. I do want to play the Only a Dreamer because Michael Stanley Band is... definitely never got their due. In Cleveland,
oh, really?
They were gods, but everywhere else, they were kind of like, who?
Oh, really?
Michael's to who? Because they were on like two or three record labels, and they never really, I mean, minor hit.
And I heard them here, but it might have been the case that they're playing a few songs out of, or like one per record, but not really getting into it.
I think they did. She can love you like I love you. She can. I think that's their big tune somewhere. Mm. But they also had another couple of small tunes.
Your brother would know, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's been a fan.
He was a fan. Yeah, he was a fan. I never really was. I kind of like
him. Well, I mean, yeah, I could see that because of pop music. I mean, what do you, who, like me, I don't go for everything that's pop.
But I'm actually going to call an audible and play track number 2 from side 2.
Wow, you have to fix it up. Do you got to get it set from that?
Yes, I'm setting it now.
All right, Sheepy's setting side 2 now. Now, we have 2 turntables, but this is all manual operations.
And
you see it on the picture on Doggy Radio's website. Go to radio.boomerthedog.net.
Let's just see what's going to happen here.
Okay.
We're coming to an end, or?
Wow.
The end of the first song.
That sounds great.
This is coming home from the Outlaws. But here is a song called Crying All Night, and it's from a very presumptuous band called Airplay. Let's listen. Your kiss is on my list. Your kiss is on my list. My list, my list. Your kiss is on my list.
And he didn't want to see you again.
Your kiss is on my list.
Sitting alone by the telephone, she'd been crying all night.
Airplay. Crying all night. Airplay, yeah. Wondering why they didn't get any.
That's right. You barked with the amazingly presumptuous name of Airplay. You had to put it on for that reason.
I thought this band was... they just... The description fits it all. I'm going to read you the description of the... because this is like a sampler album for Maxell Tape. And it's great because the back cover is a Maxell Professional Reel-to-Reel tape for like a 16-track recorder. Then you have a regular reel-to-reel tape, which would be like a consumer 2-track. Then you have Low Noise 8-track 90 cassette. Then you have
8-track?
Low Noise UDXL2, UDXL1, and MX, which is metal.
Wow, metal particle tape. That's the ad for Maxell on the back. And
yeah.
Does that mean that these bands, now I would take it, that these bands all had to be recorded on a Maxell tape to
make
it.
I doubt it.
That's probably what they do. You don't think?
I doubt it.
Because I don't know. You think they just like grabbed songs they could license for airplay on that record.
Okay, I'm going to read this real quick. So you can understand this is the promotion that went along with Airplay. And Airplay thought that they were good enough to get Airplay. I love that they called themselves Airplay.
Well, you know, if he was working with Hall & Oates, right, then they were trying to get every. They were probably always talking about things like AirPlay and getting on the radio.
If this recording by AirPlay sounds terrifically produced, engineered, and performed, and soars above standard commercial fare, it's because the people behind it are super pros.
Wow.
This is so damn jive. I mean, this is like this is like something you do your lines of coke off of.
Wow, this album?
The AirPlay album came with like lines of coke and say, play us, please, here's some coke.
And is that what they
program
gave
directors
them?
Probably listened to it and said, what the hell is this shit?
Really?
What is this crap?
Oh, I thought you liked it a little bit.
I do. I kind of like them, which is sad, but I do. AirPlay is the hit team of David Foster and Jay Graydon. David is a keyboard star. Is there such a thing as a keyboard star?
Oh.
With a long list of credits. He's produced such top artists as Hall & Oates, Alice Cooper, and Denise Williams.
Wow, Jerry Corbetta would be a keyboard star.
And here's this is so jive. Here's a great thing.
Okay.
He produced such top artists as Hall & Oates, Alice Cooper, and Denise Williams, .. all in totally separate bags.
Oh, really? That is jive talk from back then.
You know what bags, what they had in them.
Oh, you know they had coke in them.
This is the 80s.
Or grass.
Coke fire. No, not grass. It's coke bag. You know, grass was a dime a dozen. Coke, that's all it was back then.
Is that all in different bags?
They're chopping coke.
Well, what year is that from? Do you know? Not that I want to interrupt
1980.
You. Oh,
and it's
80.
funny that the movies aren't on here, because in 1980 the movies had their final album on RCA when RCA was falling apart, and this is one of the reasons why they fell apart. They would offer these special records and it cheapened the RCA name.
Really?
Yes.
RCA special products.
Yeah. All right, so let's continue on here.
Okay.
All totally separate bags.
Yeah.
Jay is a guitarist who played with Cheap Trick and has done session work for a host of hit artists, such as Haz Foster. Oh, okay. Together, they penned the smash hit After the Love Is Gone, considered by many to be the best tune ever recorded by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, you know music.
Wow.
In Crying All Night, AirPlay has created an audio show loaded with surprises. Can you believe this crap? They tried to sell this crap.
Wow.
I can't believe I'm going to choke on this. In Crying All Night, AirPlay has created an audio show loaded with surprises.
Oh, yeah.
It demands repeated listenings in order to absorb the total picture. Yeah, right. Hang on a second. I gotta say something. Hello?
No, I just did that so you won't thump.
Okay, here, I gotta say something about this.
Wow.
That's what I had to say about this.
Here, I'll up to
it. Really quacks me up.
Okay, wait a minute. This gets better. This is fun. I can barely read anymore. I'm seeing stars here. Okay. It demands repeated listenings in order to absorb the total picture. One can't help by being, quote, grabbed, unquote, by the infectious intro. A contribution of keyboard, guitar, and synthesizer that creates a fresh and thoroughly attractive sound. Who wrote this? Who wrote this crap? It's some guy who's like, oh yeah, thoroughly fresh and attractive. Here's some coke, play the record. Play AirPlay. Give AirPlay AirPlay. The lead vocal enters with authority, laying down the premise of the song clearly and convincingly. Can you believe this crap? Did they write this about everything? Like Slip Sliding Away would have the same kind of
marketing. Is that marketing terms? Would it be? Is that how you call it?
Yeah, this is
marketing speak.
This is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard.
The way Uncle Kage tries to sell furry to the masses.
The tight vocal harmonies produce a poignant lift at just the right moment. Where? What? Where the fuck was that? Where was the poignant lift? I didn't hear a poignant lift. I heard a crap song. I heard little sounds of other bands in there.
Well, somebody must have listened and reviewed. Do they say who the reviewer is?
No, this is writing promotional. I mean, it's some guy that was coked up saying, oh, yeah. Ooh, he did this, and ooh, yeah. The tight vocal harmonies produce a poignant lift at just the right moment. The melody and the chord changes in the chorus. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. This is the biggest bunch of shit I've ever heard. Here we go. Now, this is Airplay. This is a band that nobody's ever heard of. They might have had one album that was on RCA and flopped, and just nobody ever heard of them again, and goodbye. They went back to producing, and maybe they're better at producing than they are at producing their own song. But here is the line. This is like, give me some more coke. Oh, give me some more coke, man. I need more coke. Yeah. Get this. I can't do it. You read it.
No, I can't. You want me to? Are you sure?
You read it. I can't read it. It's too damn funny.
Well, do all of the bands say the same thing?
It's almost all the way down. Read it from there if you can get it. Can you get the record? You have to read that line.
Okay,
it's
I'll see.
So ridiculous.
Okay, where are we at here?
It's about 3/4 of the way.
But it says, notice how the instrumental. Wait a minute. Let's see where you stopped at here. Let's see. Convincingly. The premise of the song, clearly and convincingly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the light vocal harmonies provide a poignant. Oh, you did that one.
Okay.
Lift at just the right moment.
Uh-huh.
The melody and chord changes in the chorus are Beatlesque. Are they Beatlesque? That's what it says.
I can't believe that.
Did you read that?
Oh, that's funny.
And they're Beatlesque.
They're Beatlesque. That's right. That, you know,
like the Beatles.
You know, Airplay is right up there with the Beatles. It's Beatlesque.
There's from the LP.
Okay, we got the Beatles, and then we have a band that's Beatlesque. Do you think? Do you want Beatlesque or you want the Beatles? We got lots of Beatles records, or we have this band over here called Airplay that wants Airplay, and they are Beatlesque. Here's some more coke. Play the record, damn it. Here's more coke. Here's more coke, by the way. Oh, you don't want to play it? Okay, well, here's more coke. Jeez.
Well, Beatlesque, would that be like...
Beatlesque!
The Ruddles?
Yes, the Ruddles were Beatlesque. They were Beatlesque.
Truly, one day be.
Beatlesque!
That's what it says. Chord changes in the chorus are Beatlesque.
That is too funny.
Notice how the instrumental interlude between verses refers back to the intro. Also, listen.
Notice how that, while you're listening to the song and bebopping along and wrapping your head and going, you notice? I notice how this refers back to the original. You mean the chorus and then the verse and then the chorus, which is the same as the previous chorus? So that's not that's a Beatlesque song. I get it. Because it has verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus. Wow.
That's right.
That's Beatlesque. Isn't every damn song in the world Beatlesque then?
Well, a lot of, actually, so much music has been, inspired by the Beatles, right? All since they came out.
Airplay.
So much is like the Beatles when you get down to it.
The hot happening band at Airplay. 1980s Airplay.
Yeah, you know, now this is making me interested in it, and I'm going to have to look for that album.
We're definitely going to
have to go to Jerry's.
We definitely have to have that album now. I want to hear how Beatlesque this album is. I mean, there will probably be residue of coke on there.
Really?
When we get it, there'll be residue on there. Not on that. Boomer smells the album jacket. Just smells like mold. I'm talking about if we find the Airplay album, there's probably coke residue somewhere on it.
Wow, that's true. And let's see what else they say here. Notice how the instrumental, it refers back to the intro. Also, listen for the intentional phase shift after the release, which I did hear. I heard the phaser in there. Did you notice it?
Intentional phase shift.
Yeah, after the release, which, if you had any ideas about straying, pulls you right back in with increased intention.
Come on!
Increased attention, sheepy.
Come on.
Really? Crying all night is a prime example. Crying all night's prime example of a well-conceived, carefully structured recording, giving maximum entertainment value.
Yeah, Beatlesque, they were worried about giving maximum entertainment value with every song they did. I'm just sitting on my loo. I'm sitting on my loo, and I wrote yesterday. Wow, this song. This song has maximum entertainment value.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
and it is amazing. Let's see. And then there's still one more line.
There's one more line.
It says, "It's a breathtaking soundscape of ever-changing colors." That's the last.
I gotta have a copy of that. I just want a copy of that. That is the.
Mean the song?
No, the write-up. That is the antithesis of how bad things got in the coked up 80s.
You think that's
this airplay song? The song is not that bad. The song is not that bad.
Right.
But this description makes it into a total farce. It's a total fucking farce.
Wow, we have to see what the other writing is. We'll have to scan that then, so you can have the text.
Crying All Night is a prime example of a well-conceived, carefully structured recording.
Would that be like...
No artist wanted to do a carefully conceived, well-constructed... They recorded songs. And if the song was good, the song was good. Nobody says, yeah, we're going to do that. That's what they did. Oh, yeah, we get this on airplane. Oh, yeah, we get airplane. We'll be popular. And we can get more Coke. Yeah.
Well, is that what Eric Idle then in the Ruddles was riffing on when he did the guy at the pool who was an insufferable high-toned rock person, like a high-toned rock scholar? Is that who he was doing, do you think?
He was
making fun of people who took rock and roll to it was like that.
Well, I thought that he was doing Jay Ferguson. I really did.
Did you? Does he?
Because Jay Ferguson, when he did that 78, he had that hit in 78. What was his big hit?
Thunder Island.
Yeah, Thunder Island. That was when he was in his heavy Coke period, too. All the acts from, even the Grateful Dead, they were all doing Coke.
They were doing
80s.
It, or was he actually having a Coke problem, or just everybody was just...
No, I don't know. I don't know I don't know about problems. I don't know anything. I don't know. I'm not accusing nobody of nothing.
Oh, I see what you're barking.
I'm not accusing nobody of nothing. See, now, here's Michael Stanley, and if that is as bad as... I know Michael Stanley, and I know his history, and I know what happened to him. So let's see if this is his jive. I don't think this one will be as jive, but here it goes. Okay. As a kid, Michael Stanley remembers a lot of the promotional singles around the house. His father, Stan Gee, Mr. Gee.
Oh, is that Mr. Gee?
A Cleveland DJ. So Michael literally grew up with rock, lived through its changes, and was privy to the inside the music business viewpoint. All right.
Well, that sounds normal right there. That doesn't have all those extra words and superfluous words in it.
That's why he's always been so professional in his approach, as opposed to the myriad of neighborhood bands who think they've got the goods but miss by a mile in terms of the industry standards.
Yeah.
All right, now we're getting a little jive. But even for Michael Stanley, it wasn't easy. Yes, that's true. It's frustrating, so frustrating were his early recording experiences, he temporarily abandoned performing and went the 9-to-5 route. Then in early 1974, he was convinced to make an appearance on Don Kirshner's rock concert with a group of super rockers, including Joe Walsh. That's true, because Joe Walsh recorded Rosewood Bitters, a great song by Michael Stanley. David Sanborn and Paul Harris. It recharged his batteries, and he seriously set out to assemble his own band. See, now this isn't jive at all. This is what happened.
Yeah, they didn't have to put words because airplay was must have been totally unknown, and they couldn't think of anything real to say about them.
Yeah. Mutt Lang. He had another MSB got a new producer, Mutt Lang.
That's great, Mutt.
And produced that song and all that stuff. And they only have one little paragraph about what happens. From the funky opening guitar lick of this track, the listener can't help feeling good. For rock-savvy fans, the Michael Stanley Band is more than a satisfying treat.
Well, that sounds like a more normal review than the one on Airplane that was funny and threw a lot of words around.
Good God.
Yeah.
Okay, here is Only a Dreamer. This is a Michael Stanley Band. This is a real rock band. And this song is not bad. It was a minor hit. That was Michael Stanley Band from Cleveland, Ohio. The name of the song was... What the hell was the name of the song? Ooh, Lover. Got the 80s saxophone playing in the song. Lover. What?
So you knew... Well, you know the story of Michael Stanley Band. Are they still together?
No. No, now it's Michael Stanley and the Resonators.
Really?
That's who he tours with now.
Wow, that's his band.
Well, he doesn't tour with it. He just, like, does Cleveland. But he's been on the radio in Cleveland for 20 fucking years.
Really? Yeah. Wow, cool.
He's a radio guy.
Really? He's actually on the air behind the microphone?
Yeah.
Wow.
Been on the air for 20 years, and I knew him because he was the midday guy. He's the guy that came in after... The producer of the Howard Stern Show. He'd come in. He used to like doing it because his shift was 10 to 2. He was the late guy. I think it was Bill Lewis came in 10 to 2. But he always liked it because Howard would get off at 11:30, 11:45. And Howard didn't like that. He couldn't understand why disc jockeys are always pieces of shit because they're like, why doesn't he get off the air at 10 o'clock? Why is it? I want to get on the air. Why doesn't he get off the air? I want him to get off. It's like, are you stupid? You're being paid to not work. So shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah. Like when you don't, because you don't have to be on the air. You mean when, did Howard go overtime or did he just
all
cut?
All the time.
On purpose. He didn't cut into the shift. Like that wasn't a thing when they got Howard. Then it started at 11:30. It was just because Howard went overtime.
Howard went overtime a lot.
Does he still do that on Sirius?
Now he doesn't really have times on Sirius. He rocks and rolls. He does his own thing.
Wow.
He works his own. Ooh, we're in the runout groove, so I gotta pull it.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Do you? You're potted down, so we won't hear it. Runout groove. Like they have? Don't they have a Beatles album that has a runout? Where is that? Isn't it one Beatles album that has a run-out groove that actually keeps playing something?
Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah, and it's called run-out groove.
Never could be any other way, 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 never could
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wait a minute, here we go. Okay. The word artist is perhaps most abused when describing people who record. Not in the case of Daryl Hall and John Oates. They are recording artists in the true sense of the word, constantly striving to expand the musical horizons. As songwriters, players, and vocalists, they work towards perfection. Along with producer David Foster, Hall & Oates handpicked a group of top-flight studio musicians to help them execute what they consider a landmark album, Ecstatic.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. I have that. I definitely have that.
Well, that's another fine show shot to hell. Isn't this show a lot like Airplay? Made by Super Bros. You're the voices of, Ricochet Sheepdog and Boomer the Dog. They host some other kind of show later or something. I don't really know. Because we're all about the comedy business here and doing this half-hour comedy nugget for you to hear highlights of the other show. Huh. original shit again later, Paige. All right. So, good night. Happy Mom's Day. Now it's over. 2015. For repeats. Bye.
Excuse me. Paul Barker was pushed.